I'd like to start off by thanking my wife for typing this out for me after I crammed last night. She told me writing it down because I didn't want to be wandering all over the place. And then we were concerned that I'd get lost in my scribbles, so I'm pretty much going to read to you this part of my story. First off, I'm not here today because I like public speaking. Second, I'm not here because of several emails I received from Matt, but it's been a few months, I don't know how long, Pastor, maybe you know, since I told you I thought God wanted me to tell this part of my story. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. I tell others about Jesus' love, but only use words if you have to kind of guy. I'd rather have been out there putting up the church sign or up helping the guys on the roof. But I do love the Lord, and He's been asking me to tell my story, or at least a part of it, so I'm going to try. September 13th, 1981. I, Lonnie Kovalik Jr., accepted the Lord as my personal Savior and Lord, put my faith and trust in Him. I realized I was a sinner and bound for hell, that Jesus died for my sins that I might be reconciled to God. Romans 10:13 and John 3:16 are wrote beside that inscription. But my story starts way before this. It was almost 20 years before this part of the story was put in this Bible. I was raised in a loving home by parents who still love me today. I remember Mom reading me Bible stories. I remember learning, God is great, God is good. Let us thank You for this food, for saying grace before meals. I remember learning, now I lay me down to sleep for a bedtime prayer. Does anyone else remember that prayer? My parents never forced me to choose between their religious beliefs, but I can remember when I was quite young going to both their churches. But when I got a little older, they never made me go to church, so I pretty much didn't. But Graham Mauger, my mom's mom, and Grammy Kay, my dad's mom, were both praying for me, and they often told me so. I wasn't what you'd call a bad kid, but when I was 14 or 15 years old, I was still saying that bedtime prayer, that little now I lay me down to sleep, and when I got to the part, I pray the Lord my soul to take, I got scared. I knew something was missing. Why should God take my soul? So I decided I needed to go to church and be better so I would get to heaven. And I did go with Graham Walker for a while. But I was like the rocky soil the seed fell on. What sprang up quickly kind of withered away. I was also like thorny soil. Things got in the way of the seed. Sports, cars, school, and girls. Maybe in that order, maybe not, I don't know. But things did choke out what was been planned. I graduated from high school and went to work, then to Memphis, Tennessee to school. And now I had two grandmas, and a Lutheran pastor, and probably lots of other people I didn't even know about, praying for me. Pastor Lee Hebel wrote and sent me bulletins from church faithfully while I was in school, even though I had been to church for, I don't know, probably not five times in the past 2 years. During this time, if you'd asked me if I thought I was going to heaven, I would have said, yeah, I think so. I've been more good than bad, but I would have been wrong. Then sometime after I got home from school in Memphis, I started dating a girl who eventually started inviting me to her church several times. But I said, no thanks, for a while. But I liked this girl, so I finally agreed to go one night. The night I went, they were having what they called revival meetings with a special speaker. I don't remember that speaker's name, but I do remember hearing the gospel message for the first time that night. I'm sure I was told the story of God's love and Christ's sacrifice before, but that night it was personal. Now I need to insert a little story here from earlier to bring this all together. When we were young, we all went to Grammy Kay's for Christmas, and there was lots of us grandkids. So at Thanksgiving, we would draw names to exchange gifts for Christmas. When I was probably 11 or 12, my aunt and uncle, who were pastors and missionaries, got my name. That Christmas, all my cousins were getting cool toys and games for their gifts. I got my gift. It was heavy and rectangular and solid feeling. I wondered what kind of game it was. But it wasn't a game. It was a Bible. This Bible. The worst Christmas present ever. I thought. I don't remember, but I'm sure I wasn't a very gracious receiver of the gift. I've since asked forgiveness of my aunt and uncle and thanked them many times for this gift. Now, let's get back to the revival meeting. When an invitation was given to come forward and ask God to come live in my heart, I went forward. The pastor prayed with me. I admitted I was a sinner and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come live in my heart and be Lord of my life. After we prayed, the preacher gave me a couple of verses, John 3:16. Maybe that was before we prayed, I can't remember for sure, and Romans 10:13, but those were the two that I wrote down beside my inscription. 10:13 says, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He told me lots of things to help my new belief. He said, "Go to church, talk to other believers, read the Word." He told me when I got home to write down what happened tonight in my Bible. I didn't have a Bible. But wait a minute. The worst Christmas present ever. Guess what? When I got home, my mom knew right where it was. I honestly don't ever remember looking at it since they gave it to me 8 or 9 years before this. Now it's been one of the best Christmas presents I ever remember getting. The preacher said the reason he wanted me to write it down was sooner or later, Satan would plant doubts about my newfound faith. And when he did, I could open my Bible, read what I wrote this night to him, and tell God I still meant it. I've had to do that many times since becoming a Christian. That girl who invited me to church later left me, but God never has. There are lots of things I still don't understand, but I knew, though, that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know God loves me. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you, too. You just have to trust Him. As I was writing this, now I'm ad-libbing, so I'll try not to take too long. I knew I was going to cry. But it's not about me. It's about what God did. Everything today, Blair getting up, be encouraged. If you're that person praying, if you're that person being prayed for, God has a plan. Don't give up. Just be encouraged.